We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. Very simple words that we say each week when we come together. It's the very core foundational doctrines of the Christian faith, though. And I think sometimes we fail to stop and examine them and understand what that means for Christians, but for the world in general. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the greatest event that ever happened in the history of man, is unique only to Christianity, a faith and a religion that believes that a man, their man, our Lord, our Savior, God's only Son, who came in the flesh, was crucified, was executed on a Roman cross, was put in a tomb that was sealed with a huge stone, but rose from the dead. If it were not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there'd be no church. Because, as I said earlier, Jesus would have been nothing more than just another wise man, a philosopher, a teacher, a good moral example for us to follow and live by. And that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is not about God sending an example for us to follow in Jesus Christ. That's not the extent of our faith, although Jesus was a good example. Christianity is all about our Lord and Savior rising from the tomb, being crucified and killed for our sinfulness, that our sins are forgiven. But it doesn't stop there. When he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, before he left his disciples, he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'll come back for you." And that is our hope as we sit here this morning. That when our day comes, and the hole in the ground is ours, and the sod is covered over us, we know we're going up. We know where we're going. We have assurance that death is not the end. As Paul told Timothy, if we died in Christ, we also live in Christ. When Luke writes about the story of the resurrection, because sometimes it's hard for us to understand all this resurrection stuff and all this resurrection talk, and rightly so, because we're human beings, and the resurrection was a divine, powerful, supernatural event. It's hard for us to fully grasp that doctrine and that concept. And sometimes, frankly, it's hard for us to believe. Luke writes from a doctor's perspective, so you would understand the importance of a doctor emphasizing that this man, this Jesus, who was God in the flesh, rose from the dead. He's alive. Imagine a doctor giving testimony that he was dead, but he's alive now. We find three things here, and some simple facts about a complex event that leads us to a joyous conclusion. We find, first of all, some were frightened, some didn't believe, and some didn't understand. And we see that things really haven't changed much in 2,000 years. It was the first day of the week, early in the morning. The women took the spices that they had prepared and they went to the tomb. And they had watched Joseph of Arimathea lay Jesus in this tomb and seal it with a stone. They came back to anoint him with the spices because his body had not been prepared correctly. When they got to the tomb, they found the stone was rolled away. So they went into the tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus, but lo and behold, something was wrong. The body was gone. And while they were wondering about this, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and these women bowed down to these men. And the men says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The other gospel writers tell us these were God's angels. And they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Remember that he told you this while he was with you?" that the Son of Man, and Luke calls him the Son of Man because he wants to emphasize the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus had a human body. And that's important to us because we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man, as he told you, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they said, oh yes, now we know what he was talking about. Now we remember what he was talking about. So when they came back from the tomb, these women who were frightened came back from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and the others that were there. These women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others. They told the apostles, his body's gone. And we saw angels who told us that he had risen from the dead just like he said. In other words, they told the others, it's exactly like Jesus told us. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. You know, our world today is so intelligent. We live in an age of technology, constantly trying to figure things out. And the more we study, the more we read, the more we search, the more the resurrection seems a mystery and seems like nonsense. How can a dead person live again? Peter went to the tomb. He bent over and he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. It was a mystery to him. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe how that Jesus that was dead just a couple days ago was no longer in the tomb. He wondered what it was that had happened to Jesus and happened there at the tomb. It's hard to understand when something like this, something divine happens. Supernatural events, unbelievable events, incredible things done by God, especially the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And sadly today we're still trying to explain it away, or trying to explain in scientific ways how it must have happened and what must have happened. But you know, the resurrection of Jesus is all about faith. We believe it happened, although we did not see it ourselves. The Bible tells us faith is assurance of things that we have not seen. We have assurance because our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ saw the empty tomb and wrote it down and passed it on, and we look on these words and we say, yes, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And furthermore, we believe not simply because they say so, but because we can see his power in the world today. I quoted earlier from an expression from C.S. Lewis that we believe in Jesus and his resurrection like we believe in the sun and that the sun shines. Not because we can look at it and see it, but that we can look all around the world and see the effects of it and what it does to all of creation. Simple facts were, Jesus was dead. He was crucified. He was stabbed in the side with a Roman sword. And when they went back to break his legs, they discovered he was already dead. So they allowed Joseph of Arimathea to take him down. Joseph took him down, took him to his own personal tomb, and rolled the stone in front of the tomb. They saw it happen. And the religious leaders of that day that rejected Jesus Christ went to Pilate and said, we need to do something to make sure that tomb is secure, because he said he was going to rise on the third day, and we've got to make sure that isn't going to happen, or else we're going to look more foolish then than we do already for rejecting Jesus. So Pilate put a guard there and they put a seal on the tomb. The other gospel writers tell us the guards were terrified to the point they fell on the ground as if dead when the angels came and the tomb was opened up. And nothing could hold Jesus. The facts were, the tomb was sealed, the tomb was guarded. When the women got there, the tomb was opened and the tomb was empty. Simple facts. The angel said he's not here, he's risen, just like he said. Simple facts. Easy to understand. Just like Jesus had said. And by faith we believe it because Jesus told us so. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried. Dead and buried. I want you to think about that. Dead and buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Simple facts about a complex event. They ran back with the facts and told their friends. And it seemed like nonsense to their friends. You ever have any friends like that? You ever have any friends that maybe you're living out your faith at work or in school or maybe in your home or in your community and your friends kind of laugh at you? They think that's nonsense. That might be okay for you, but it's not for me. I want to tell you something, folks. There's going to come a time in every human being's life when the resurrection will matter and no longer be nonsense to anyone. It will be a matter of where we spend eternal life, believing in Jesus Christ, believing that He was crucified for our sins, believing that He rose from the dead and is coming back for us. It seemed to them like nonsense. Peter ran to the tomb himself and he saw for himself that Jesus was not there, even though he wondered what happened. He didn't fully understand it. None of them did. They could not wrap their minds around this. Jesus was dead, and now he's gone. He's alive. But yet, in faith, they believed when they saw him again. They believed. It was just as he had told them. And they rejoiced when he appeared to them again. When they saw the tomb was empty, this was a hallelujah moment in their lives. Seeing what God had done and what He promises to do for all who receive Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back again, I want to ask you, is He coming to take you? Will He take you? He's not going to take those who reject Him. That makes absolutely no sense. For those who don't believe. Yet as John told us, to those who believed, to those who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. And when Jesus comes back again, our living, resurrected Jesus, He's coming back to take His children to be with Him so that they can be with Him also in glory. Simple facts about a complex event. Do we fully understand it? Absolutely not. Someday we will. Can we fully explain it? Absolutely not. We can do our best with the Bible to understand that when we come to Christ, God puts His Holy Spirit inside us. And that's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That in our old self, dying in Christ, giving up our old life and giving ourselves to Christ, we're born again. And the Spirit fills us up with new life and continues to strengthen us and sanctify us until the day that we close our eyes and see the light of eternity, and through that light, Jesus reaching out to say, "Welcome home. Enter into my glory." Will He reach for you? I surely hope so. That is our celebration today as we wait for that event to happen. We celebrate that we have proof. We celebrate that we have facts. But most of all, we celebrate that by faith we have assurance of the resurrection. Jesus Christ's and ours. Let's pray. God our Father, You truly are a miraculous God who has revealed so much to us. Jesus could have risen from the dead and it could have been a secret thing that no one had ever seen, but no, Lord, you rolled the stone away so that the whole world might see the tomb was empty, and that today we might by faith accept also and know that when our time comes and we are laid in our own tomb, that that tomb will not hold us, or it will have no power over the resurrection power that we find in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Together, let's turn in our red hymnals to 353.